Councilmember Bonnie May Thacker, second column, Council, William T. Cleveland, Donna Dudley, Council, Lieutenant Ashley D. Mondo, Senior Council, Michael J. Quinn, Senator Mary Robb, and Billy Campbell.
All right, Mr. Johnson, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Harry M. Johnson III, on behalf of Virginia Electric and Power Company, doing business as Dominion Virginia Power. Mr. Chief Justice, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The commission below held that Section 56-577A provides the largest customers of electric power 3 independent avenues to enter the retail market and not purchase from their incumbent utility. This was error. The only way to read the 3 avenues that the commission found, sections A3, A4, and A5, as independent is to read the phrase subject to mean in addition to, contrary to its plain meaning, or to read the phrase subject to completely out of the statute. This violates the rules of statutory construction, and it also creates an anomaly because it gives the customer, that is the regulated party under Section A, the choice what law will govern its transaction to purchase in the retail market.
Well, not entirely, because A5 means you still have to get it from 100% renewable sources, whereas A3 is not limited.
Under the largest customers have a right to purchase any energy under A3, whether it's renewable or not. And all parties agree on that, Your Honor. All parties agree that A3, under its plain terms, gives the largest customers the right to purchase any type of energy on the retail market.
I guess what I'm trying to say is when A5 comes along and reading this in sequence, it leaves the impression you're dealing with a subset class of the large employers, and the subset is when they're only getting it from 100% renewable, in which case we want to encourage that, and we don't have the five-year rule applicable. Go ahead.
The only way to get there is to read the phrase subject to in Section A3 to mean in addition to, or to read it out of the statute. Let me show you how that works. Under the deregulation period, any customer could purchase electricity from any licensed supplier in Virginia. And then the Regulation Act, 577A, is a part of that, came along. And what it said was, first sentence, before the end of deregulation, all customers can purchase from their incumbent utility. After the end of deregulation, only the largest customers can purchase from licensed suppliers. And then there's this phrase, subject to the provisions of subdivisions 4 and 5. So what does that phrase mean, subject to the provisions of subdivisions 4 and 5? Well, at a minimum, we know that it does not mean that both A3 and A5 can apply. Subject to does not mean in addition to. Subject to is limiting. Subject to is qualifying. Subject to is not expanding. It creates an exception to a rule. It does not add something. It creates an exception to a rule. And logic tells us that when you're looking at a thing, here a specific transaction, both the rule and the exception cannot apply at the same time. So what is the proper meaning of that phrase, subject to the provisions of subdivisions 4 and 5? What it means is it modifies the word only. Because under the old regime, all customers could take from a retail supplier. After, in the new regime, only the largest customers can. The subject to A4 and A5 is limiting. It's creating an exception to that category, only large customers who can purchase. So when you read that, you see that that is the exception to the rule. And how do we know that's right? Well, the commission has set this up, and they have held that there's this menu of options. You can choose if you're a large customer under A3, or you can choose under A5. But to read it that way, you have to take only and just cross it out. Only doesn't mean anything under those circumstances. The statute would have the same meaning that the commission put on it, whether you have only in the statute or not. And we're saying you have to give only some meaning. In addition, you could write out the entire phrase subject to the provisions of subdivisions 4 and 5, comma, only, and reach the same result that the commission reached. If you read that statute, you could take that entire phrase out, and then it would say, under A3, large customers can purchase on the retail market. B, aggregated, smaller customers can purchase. And subsection C, customers, retail customers can purchase. You can reach the same result crossing out all of that language. Well, that's not the way statutory construction works. You have to give meaning to all the phrases, all the words in the statute. So what it means is there's this rule that all large customers can take in the retail market, but subject to these other exceptions. Here are the other customers who can take. Smaller customers who aggregate their demand to reach the 5-megawatt threshold, or customers who are purchasing 100% renewable energy.
But wouldn't, if that was clearly what was intended, wouldn't A5 read something along the lines of everybody that's not in A, in 5A, they can get it. They can just got to go to 100% renewable, and there's no rules attached to them at all.
I would submit, Your Honor, that would be redundant. The way the statute is structured here, with the subject to language, comma, only large customers can take, you don't need to repeat in subdivision A5. You don't need to repeat that large customers can take under A3. They already can take that energy, whether it's 100% renewable or not.
But, you know, if you just make 5 on top of 3 and start reading 5 and then read upside down, you start off with anybody can take as long as they go to renewable, no conditions. And then you finally get to 3, and large can take over 5 megawatts with the 5-year rule. I mean, there's an inconsistency between those two things, and it really depends on which one you start with, and that tells you you blow off the next thing. I'm just wondering why, if it goes in both directions like that, it's not a reasonable interpretation to take the broadest term, which is, look, anybody can. Anybody can do it, go to renewable, no conditions. Start there and say, all right, well, that's my first premise, and then find the inconsistency in A3 and go, I'm not exactly sure what they meant by that, but anybody means anybody. I'll stop there.
Well, first of all, of course, the General Assembly didn't put A5 first. They put mm-hmm. A3 first and created the exception to A3 in mm-hmm. A4 and A5. If you were to read A5 first and say anyone can take, and then you got to A3 later by reversing it, mm-hmm. you would still get to the phrase in A3C, the provision in A3C that large customers who take electric energy from a competitive service provider have to follow these procedures to protect the public interest and to protect the existing customers if the large customer decides to abandon the competitive service providers 100% renewable energy and bring all its demand back to the incumbent's system.
Council, help me out a little bit. You mentioned the General Assembly. Were these provisions the ones that were sent down by the governor during
A3 and A4 were in the original package that the General Assembly passed. Then it went to the governor.
And the governor waited until 11 o'clock at night when he had a midnight deadline and sent down a whole bunch of amendments, and the General Assembly had to either take them or leave them. And he indicated he would veto the bill if they weren't accepted.
Well, keep
Right? Yeah,
I won't
right.
characterize it. He definitely amended it and sent it back to the General Assembly with the addition of A5.
And so the General Assembly really didn't have the opportunity to say, that might not be in the right place, or we want to... It really was take it or leave it time.
Well, this is the statute that the General Assembly passed.
Sure.
And under the plain terms of what did get passed, there's really... in our view, only one reading. And that reading is large customers can take any energy, regardless of its source, including 100% renewable energy. Neither the commission nor the incumbent utility can block that right. But if the large customer decides to return, and of course it never has to return, it can always purchase on the competitive market, but if it decides to return under A3C, it must follow those procedures, which is either give 5 years' notice or go to the commission and establish to the commission's satisfaction that the public interest is protected and the existing customers are protected. That text-based reading of the statute that really no one has disputed, no one has shown why that's wrong, that text-based reason, it harmonizes A3, A4, and A5, and that text-based reading of the statute resolves some of these problems that we've identified, these anomalies that we've identified in our briefs that would occur if you treat this like a menu of options for large customers. Another problem with reading the statute in the way that the commission does is that it turns subject to on its head. As the commission acknowledges in its brief, this court has held in the Donnelly versus Donatelli and Klein case that subject to means subordinate, subservient, inferior, obedient to, governed or affected by. Now, if you read subject to mean that, then A3, and you apply it to the large customer's rights to purchase, then A3 would be inferior to A5 in the context of 100% renewable energy. The large customer wouldn't have a choice. Which one do I go on? Subject to, given that meaning, would say when it's 100% renewable energy, A5 and only A5 applies. And if that's the case, then the incumbent utility can block that right to purchase 100% renewable energy, by filing a tariff, its own tariff for 100% renewable energy. And that's not what the commission...
Can you repeat that, Mr. Johnson?
So if subject to means inferior to, that would mean that A5... is inferior to A3.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a large customer were choosing to purchase 100% renewable energy, A5 and only A5 would apply. It has priority. And if A5 has priority for that type of transaction, then it could be blocked. That right to purchase 100% renewable energy could be blocked by the incumbent's filing of a tariff.
You wanted to save a little time.
You're
down to 129.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Dudley. Mr. Dudley, you want to pause for a moment and get your own glass? That'd be fun.
Actually, I brought mine up. I just need to use it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is John Dudley. I'm with the State Corporation Commission. I'm sharing time with Appalachian Voices and Direct Energy as evenly as we can. The commission chose to follow the plain language of A5. The plain language of A5 applies to all customers, and it does not have a five-year market commitment. When the General Assembly wanted to limit a retail choice option by customer size, it did that. When the General Assembly wanted to create a market commitment, it did that. When the General Assembly wanted to make one retail choice provision subject to the requirements in A3, it did that also. But it did none of that in A5. What it did was it created two different policies for two different situations. The first policy is under A3. Under A3, if a customer chooses to go to the market because he can get a better deal, that customer has to be willing to commit to 5 years of market prices. The second policy is under A5. Under A5, if a customer is forced to go to the market because that's the only way that the customer can get 100% renewable energy, and the General Assembly did not create a market commitment. It created two policies for two situations, and both of those policies can be implemented. Nobody argued in the case below that the plain language could not be implemented the way the Commission has read the plain language of the statute. They argued it could create increased costs, could create difficulties, but that's part of the policy decision in the statute. It doesn't change the plain language, which the Commission chose to follow.
How does the incumbent tariff wild card play into this argument?
In A5?
And if A3 is subject to A5 and the superior trumps the inferior, Mr. Johnson's point is, well, that does affect the ability of a tariff to intersect the pricing decisions.
No, that's I disagree with that. Subject, the only subject to, the only time these two statutes talk to each other, it makes A3 subject to A5, which I read, nothing in A3 changes the plain language of A5. That's what the subject to means. A4 says it is subject to A3, specific requirements. But the General Assembly wanted to make A5 a retail choice subject to the requirements in A3. It did that. It did not do it in A5. The only subject to clause is in A3. It says A3 is subject to A5. Dominion says it actually means the opposite, that somehow that means A5 is inferior to A3. It doesn't create a tariff problem. It just means there's nothing in A3 that changes the plain language of A5. For example, it's not an anomaly for a utility regulation for a customer or a utility to have a choice under which law they're under. A utility builds a power plant. It gets to choose whether it wants to be regulated under base rate statutes or rate adjustment clause statutes. The Commission's had regulations for years. A large customer, when it buys electricity, the Commission's approved multiple regulations where that customer can buy it under regular rates, time of use rates, market-based tariff rates. So there's not an anomaly giving a customer a choice, and I don't think it matters whether A3 or A5, which one comes first. The plain language of each stands on their own. A5 says all customers. It doesn't have an exception. And it makes sense that there's not an exception because the only in A3, it says only these large customers will go to the market, because that gives them only the right, and only them, to have the unfettered privilege of going to the market. A3 was created when deregulation ended, but the General Assembly decided to give one group of customers, let them continue to go to the market to have that privilege. So that's what that only means in A3. Only those customers have the unfettered right to go to the market. A5 stands on its own. All customers can go to buy 100% renewable, but only if their utility doesn't offer it. It's not an unfettered right. The utility can block large customers or any customers from going to the market under A5 by offering its own 100% renewable product. I feel like I should answer something else with my next 15 seconds. Are there any other questions before I yield?
Who's the new commissioner going to be?
A very good one.
But he wanted a question.
May it please the court, my name is Will Cleveland with the Southern Environmental Law Center, representing Appalachian Appalachian Voices, also known as the Environmental Respondents. To begin with, we are trying to share time evenly, so I'll be as quick as I can. And we do absolutely agree with the Commission that the plain reading of the statute applies and that the Commission was correct in its interpretation of that plain language. To the contrary, although all parties in this case, both sides, claim that the plain language applies, Dominion's arguments actually are not based on plain language. They are based on policy, and they're also wrong. At its heart, this appeal has only one aim, and that is to prevent large customers from leaving Dominion service, which is so why so much of the brief discusses policy implications and implementation problems, rather than such as the exclusive utility franchise, rather than the actual language.
What's wrong with that? The stability of the franchise requires that kind of ability to predict supply and demand.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What's wrong with that policy? You act as if it's some sort of anathema. How do you run a franchise industry without taking those concerns into play?
No, I would certainly not disagree that you do need to take those concerns into play, but Virginia is part of the interconnect. The utility has unfettered access to purchase energy from that PJM interconnect. It's a large interstate market. So the idea that under A5 somehow Dominion can't actually meet its new customers' loads is incorrect. In fact, Dominion has new customers of far larger than 5 megawatts coming to its service territory all the time, and it doesn't require 5 years' notice for them to.
But their point is they don't know. I mean, markets change, and they just need some way of planning, and the 5-year rule is a rough and ready way of planning.
And I would not dispute that the 5-year rule is appropriate and applies under A3, but the plain language of A5 does not apply to the 5-year rule, and therefore it does not apply to those customers who shop under A5.
Counsel, I do have a question about, and this follows my question to Mr. Johnson, about the fact that this was a last-minute governor's amendment and trying to figure out the intention of the General Assembly when you're in a take-it-or-leave situation is hard, because then you have to actually look at the intention of the governor. And you actually, in your brief, quote from a press release, and I found that in the governor's papers but did not find it. I'm wondering, is that in the record that went to the SEC? Can we look at the governor's press release to determine his intentions and then graft them into the General Assembly's vote to accept his amendment? Or are we? Do we have to just set that aside? And
I would think that the governor's press release would not be necessarily indicative of the General Assembly's legislative intent. However, I think it's important for what he was thinking when he sent down that amendment. And I think when you look at the amendment, which is to add Section A5 to the statute, it is clear that renewable energy and access to renewable energy is a high priority for the governor, and since the General Assembly adopted that amendment for that General Assembly, customers of any size and any class under A5 may access renewable energy. It can either be through
In other words, we should, or we are limited to looking only at the language of A5 and where it is placed, and should not be asking what was the governor's intention in this. This is just an anomaly. This is a very unusual legislative history, if we're allowed to consider legislative history at all.
It certainly is an unusual legislative history. I wouldn't dispute that. But as we have said all along, we think that the plain language of the statute controls, and the plain language of A5 says that all customers, any retail customer, regardless of customer class, may purchase 100%.
So then we just set the intention of the governor aside. So, okay, go ahead.
And actually, if there are no more additional questions, I'd like to see the rest of my time to direct energy.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Quinnan, and I represent Direct Energy Services, LLC. Direct Energy was the petitioner in this case. They filed a petition for declaratory judgment that initiated this proceeding. Both sides in this appeal do rely upon the plain meaning. And the appellant, the Dominion, has repeatedly said that their positions are based on the plain meaning of the statute. They said that below. They said that in their briefs. But below and in their briefs, They relied heavily upon rules of construction, which don't need to apply and should not be applied, where the plain meaning of the statute really does tell you what the law is. And that is the case in this matter, on this appeal. All the court really needs to do is look at the language that you see in 56577A3 and A4 and A5. So let's take a look at that language. It's been dissected, chopped, and stirred a lot, but if we look at how that language actually reads, its meaning is very clear. 56577 starts out, A says, retail competition for the purchase and sale of electric energy shall be subject to the following provisions. Now remember, this is in the context of re-regulation after a period of time when there was open competition. So section A3 starts with a sentence that pertains to the period of time before re-regulation, while capped rates were still in effect. That's not an issue in this case. The relevant language, the operative language in this case, starts in the second sentence, and it says, after the expiration or termination of capped rates, in other words, now, and subject to the provisions of subdivisions 4 and 5, there's the notable subject to language that's been much discussed. And then it has that word only. And Dominion's counsel says that phrase only modifies that word only. But there's no basis for reading that phrase as modifying only the following word. Because what follows is one sentence. It's a little bit of a long sentence, but it says individual retail customers, regardless of customer class, that means all customers, whose demand exceeded 5 megawatts. I'm going to paraphrase a little, go through some of the details. Then it adds some more allowances that effectively are there dealing with an issue with electric cooperatives, not dealing with Dominion and APCO, about 90 megawatts and such. But essentially, any customer whose demand exceeded 5 megawatts shall be permitted to purchase electric energy from any supplier, any CSP, except for another incumbent utility that's a neighbor of the one that serves this customer. There's another subject to provision, subject to the following conditions. This subject to provision hasn't gotten much attention, but it should, because what this says is that the provisions that follow are conditions to sales under A3. Well, one of those provisions that follows, one of those conditions to sales under A3 is A3C. That's where you find the five-year advance notice provision. So the five-year advance notice provision is clearly a condition to sales under A3, and sales under A3 are subject to the provisions of A4 and A5. That's the plain meaning. That's what the Commission ruled. That's what Direct Energy is asking this court to find. Now, there is the next section, 4, which allows smaller customers under 5 megawatts to aggregate to reach a 5 megawatt limit, and then it allows them to purchase. A4 specifically provides that those customers may petition the Commission for permission to aggregate within the Commonwealth under the conditions specified in Subdivision 3. So aggregating customers do have to provide 5 years advance notice, and Section A4 repeats that, where it says, if such petition is approved, all customers whose load has been aggregated or combined shall thereafter be subject in all respects to the provisions of Subdivision 3. That includes Section C, the 5 year advance notice provision. So subsection A4, aggregated customers who are similarly purchasing because of the size they're able to pull into their aggregated load, are subject to the same 5 year advance notice condition. A5, as you've already heard, was added to the statute for a very different reason, to encourage sales and the availability of renewable energy in the Commonwealth.
It is subject to a different protection that is afforded to the incumbent. The incumbent can cut off sales under A5 entirely by providing its own 100% renewable notice. So the incumbent is protected. And A5 doesn't have anything saying that those customers are purchasing under the conditions specified in Subdivision 3 or subject in all respects to the provisions in Subdivision 3. And the General Assembly could have easily put those same express references to the conditions of A3 into A5, and it did
not. The Council, it couldn't. It came down on veto debt. It was take it or leave it.
Well, it's been some years since then, Your Honor, and the,
sure. Okay.
And the General Assembly has had plenty of opportunity to, if that was their intention or if that's the way they wanted it to work, they could have made it work that way.
They have paid attention to the statute, haven't they?
But the bottom line is the statute, the language of the statute says what it says.
Yeah,
and A5 does not contain any express limitation. So the plain language
of
the statute.
Your time has expired.
I'm sorry?
Your time has expired.
Oh, thank you
very much. Rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would first like to address the comment that subsection A4 refers to subsection A3. In fact, that actually helps Dominion's position in this case. The reason you have to, the General Assembly had to include that provision subjecting aggregated customers to the subdivision A3 is because the customers in A3 and the customers in A4 are mutually exclusive. Customers in A3 are, by definition, 5 megawatts or greater individually. By definition, in A4, the customers who aggregate individually may not have 5 megawatts of demand.
May I ask you this? Going back to the plain meaning, I mean, this is quite a difficult case because everyone says the meaning is plain, and frankly, it's not occurring to me to be that plain. If I were to say to my children, look, you can drive mom and dad's cars, subject to what mom says, you can drive mom and dad's cars, but only if you tell me about it in advance and you don't drive at night. But subject to whatever mom says. And then mom comes along and says, you can drive anytime you want to. The kid drives it anytime he wants to, and I get mad and he says, wait a minute, you put in a limitation on me, but mom says don't worry about it. And you said subject to what mom says. How could I get mad at the kid?
Well, that's not the provision here.
Well, I know that.
The provision here is the subject to is modifying only. The better analogy is if you go to McDonald's, and I see my time has ended. May I finish?
You can certainly answer his question.
If you take your child to McDonald's, the menu does not say subject to fries and Cokes. You can buy a hamburger. You can also buy a fry. You can also buy a Coke. It would just say you can buy a hamburger, you can buy fries, you can buy a Coke. And the choice is what the commission said. Our position is that this is not two different situations involving two different transactions. It's one transaction, 100% renewable energy by a large customer. A3 and A5 cannot both apply. It has to be one. And here that's A3.
Well, all this discussion of fries and Cokes at noon has gotten us to the point the court is in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.